Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
When David was going out to fight the giant Goliath, Saul gave him his armor to fight Goliath. And David didn't have any confidence in Saul's armor. You see, human protection, means, and device could not help him in this battle. So we read where he picked out 5 smooth stones out of a creek. I've entitled this message, The 5 Stones of David. Now, why did he pick out 5 stones? He could have picked out 4. He could have picked out 6. Why 5 stones? Did David understand that there would be some typical significance of this? I don't think so. He just picked out 5 stones to fight the Lord's battle. And the reason he was using these stones instead of human armor is to teach, beginning in verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistines," this is when he comes at him with these stones, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord, and He will give you into our hands." See, the point behind these stones was to show that salvation was totally a work of the Lord. It's His battle. David was going to beat Goliath, but it wasn't through David's ability. It was through the ability of the Lord God. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, we are given the 5 stones of salvation. They form a 5-link golden chain, and every link is rock solid. It cannot be broken. You know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and there are no weak links in this chain. And after that, we're given 5 rock-solid conclusions that we can draw from the 5 stones of salvation. Now, do the 5 stones of David point to these? I believe they do. These are what gave David the victory. And these are what gives the believer the victory, because when Paul concludes, he says that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And if there is no connection between David's 5 stones and the 5 stones of salvation, that still doesn't take away from the truthfulness of what I'm going to say regarding the 5 stones of salvation. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, we read this statement. This is such a blessed verse of Scripture. Paul says, "What shall we then say to these things?" And he's talking about those 5 stones of which he had just written of. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, if is a very important word here. If God be for us. If lets us know that He is not for everybody. Now, if He is for us, who can be against us? But if he is against us, who can be for us? Now understand, God has enemies. Now, thank God they're not able to do what they want to do because he's God. He's all powerful. But God has enemies. And the proof of that is hell. Hell is where God places all of his enemies for eternity. That's a hard thing to think about, but it's true. God has enemies, and he is not for those people in hell, in any sense of the word. And deep down, you know that God is just, and there's a place where he's going to send people who are his enemies. Now, who's he for? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who is the us? Am I included in that group of people that he's for? In verse 28 of this same passage of Scripture, he gives us two identifying marks of the people that God is for. Now, let's read this verse together. Romans 8, 28. Remember, we're not talking about what man thinks, but what God says in his word. Oh, would to God that we could hear what he says. In verse 28 of Romans chapter 8, Paul says, and we know. We're certain of this. This is not an issue. We know. We know. Who's the we? Everybody who knows it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now in that verse of Scripture, two identifying marks are given to identify those for whom God is for. First, they are the people who love God. Not simply that they say they love God, because pretty much everybody says that, but they actually love God. They love him as he's revealed in his word. They love his sovereignty. They love that he's the first cause behind everything. They love his power, the fact that he has the power to do whatever he wills to do. They love his justice, that he will not let sin go unpunished. They love his holiness, his hatred of sin. They love his omnipresence, the fact that he's everywhere at once. They love his immutability, the fact that he never changes. They love his wisdom, that he's made a way to save. They love his grace. They love his love. They love everything about God that he's revealed in his word. There isn't one thing about God they don't love. And they would not change him if it were in their power. They love God as he is. Now, these people who love God, secondly, they're identified as them that are the called according to his purpose. Romans 9:11 says, the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But preacher, doesn't God give everybody a chance? Salvation is not by chance. It's by the purpose of God Almighty. Them that are the called according to his purpose. Now these are the people that God is for. Those who love him. Those who are the called according to his purpose. Now think of this. If God is for you in all of his attributes, that means his justice demands your salvation. His power causes your salvation. His sovereignty wills your salvation. His wisdom makes a way for you to be saved. God the Father is for you. You're His child. God the Son is for you. He's your Savior. God the Spirit is for you. He's given you life. He preserves you. Why? All the holy angels are for you. God's holy law is for you. Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, let's examine these five stones that secure the salvation of those whom God is for. In verse 29 of Romans chapter 8, here's the first stone of salvation, for whom He did foreknow. Whom He did foreknow. God's foreknowledge is the first stone of salvation. Now, God's foreknowledge is not God's foreknowledge of events that will take place before they happen, although God certainly does know what will take place before it takes place, because the Scripture says He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all My pleasure. Yes, God knows what's going to take place tomorrow or in 5 minutes because it's His will being done. He does have a perfect knowledge of all events, but that's not what foreknowledge is. Notice it says whom He did foreknow. Not what He foreknew, but whom He did foreknow. Whom He did know beforehand. Like He said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. When Adam knew his wife Eve, it was an intimate relationship of love. Foreknowledge is for love. It's loving beforehand. Remember that crowd spoken of in Matthew chapter 7 where the Lord says, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now, He knew exactly who they were. He knew exactly what they had done. He knew their names, but He didn't know them. He didn't love them. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never loved you. That's exactly what that means. Now, this is the foundation of salvation. It begins with His knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, if He ever knew you, if He knows you, He'll never stop knowing you. He'll never stop loving you. Whom He did foreknow. Now, how can this be? Union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if God loves you, it's because you're in Christ and you've always been in Christ. There's never been a time when you were not in Christ. And if you're in Christ, there's never going to be a time when you're out of Christ. And God loves you eternally. Whom He did foreknow. There's the first stone of salvation. Now, here's the second. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the second stone is predestination. You know, there are entire religious assemblies who deny the truth of predestination. Well, if you deny predestination, here's what you do. You deny God. You don't believe in the God of the Bible. You believe in a weak, man-like God, but not the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible is the God of predestination. And here's what predestination is. Those He foreknew, He predetermined that they were going to be just like Christ, perfectly conformed to His image. Now, how glorious this is. Do you want to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that the desire of your heart? Do you want to be perfectly conformed to His image? Then you will be. He's predestinated it. Predestination doesn't keep people from being saved who would have been. It saves people who would have been damned. He predestinates all he foreknew to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did God know you'd be listening to this message? Well, of course he did. Is there any way then that you wouldn't have been? No, because he determined it. Now, is there any way God's predestinating purpose can fail to come to pass? If he has predetermined that you're going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ, his will cannot be thwarted. He said, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I also will do it. If God be for you in predestination, who can be against you? Now here is the third stone of salvation. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Called. Now this is a reference to the effectual call of God's irresistible and invincible grace. Grace that will not take no for an answer. Lazarus, our Lord said, come forth. Now remember, Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and the process of decay had already began. Could Lazarus have rejected the Lord's call when the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth? Could he say no? No. He that was dead came forth. Now, if God calls you invincibly and irresistibly, who can be against you? Here's the fourth stone. Moreover, whom he called, them he also justified. Now, justification means that you've never done anything wrong, and you've always done that which is right. You've never sinned. You're not guilty. If you're justified, it doesn't simply mean forgiven or pardoned. It means not guilty. Remember the publican in the temple who beat on his breast crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, the worst man to ever live? You know what Christ said about that man? He said, I say unto you that that man went down to his house. And he confessed he's sinful, but he went down to his house justified. Justified rather than the other. Somebody says, how can he do that? He did it. He did it. God justified him. Now, the glorious truth of justification. My sins became Christ's. And he was condemned, and his righteousness becomes mine, and I'm justified, not guilty. Oh, what a glorious stone of salvation. That's the fourth stone. Here's the fifth. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. And notice, it doesn't say, then he will glorify. It says, then he glorified. I am already glorified. Glorified. Now somebody says, you don't look like you're already glorified. Well, that may be, but I am, because if Christ is glorified, I am too, because I'm in Him. 1 John 4:17 says, as He is, so are we in this world right now. Well, how is He? He's glorified, perfect before God, and so is every believer. Now these are the five stones of salvation, the five stones of David. Foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification. Now, if God be for us in these things, if He be for me in foreknowledge, if He foreknew me, if He be for me in predestination, if He is predestined that I be just like Christ, if He is for me in calling, He calls me by almighty grace. If He's for me in justification, He justifies me. If He's for me in glorification, I'm glorified in Christ, then who can be against me? Now here's the first conclusion of the five conclusions we're going to draw from these five stones, who can be against me? There's absolutely nothing to be intimidated by. There's no intimidation. Circumstances can't be against me. As a matter of fact, all the circumstances are working together for my good. No matter how bad or dark they may appear, everything, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The law can't be against me. It's for me because I stand perfect before it. Satan can't be against me because I belong to the Lord. And Satan's God's devil. He can't move without God's permission. And everything he does will end up being for my good. Men can't be against me. Oh, they can try to be, but as the writer to the Hebrews said, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do against me. Why, I can't even be against myself. You know, if I could mess this thing up, I'd do it. I know I would. But God's for me. There's absolutely nothing to be intimidated by. Let's go on reading. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also? How shall he not? How shall he not? What could possibly prevent him from freely giving us all things? There's absolutely no prevention. What all does that mean? There's absolutely nothing that can prevent God from freely giving me everything. But somebody may think, but I'm so sinful, I'm so unworthy, I'm so unfaithful, I'm so weak, I'm so foolish, I'm so easily led astray, and yet I'm so proud and self-righteous and selfish. How can I be saved like that? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not? There's nothing that can prevent him from freely giving us all things. No prevention. Now look in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. You can't prosecute somebody when there is no guilt. God has justified all of His people and there is no prosecution. There's nothing to be intimidated by. There's nothing to prevent Him from giving us all of His salvation. And there's nothing to prosecute us for. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Law, what do you got to say? I've got nothing to say. He stands perfect. Satan, do you have anything to bring to their charge? No, he can't, because God justified him. If God has justified me, I'm justified. What about my own heart? My own heart can't bring anything to my charge if Christ died for me. I stand perfect before the law of God. There is no prosecution. And then he says in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Romans 8:1 at the beginning of this chapter, is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who is he that condemneth? Now, Paul gives four reasons why the believer cannot be condemned, that person that God is for. Remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? Who is he that condemneth? You could ask the law, you could ask the devil, you could ask men who were witnesses to things that perhaps you've actually done. Your own conscience might condemn you, but listen to this. If you're a believer, if God's for you, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. That's all you need. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen. That means God accepted what He did. Who's even at the right hand of God, highly exalted, ruling and reigning, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, no one can condemn you. There is no condemnation. You'll never, never have to give an account for your sins. You know, People talk about believers as if they're one day going to be judged for their sins. It's going to be the believer's judgment. It won't be as bad as an unbeliever's judgment, but you'll get a higher reward in heaven based upon how good you were or how much you've not sinned. That's foolishness. That's a judgment that a believer's never going to face. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You can't lay anything to my charge. I've always done that which is right. I've never done that which was wrong. No condemnation, because Christ died, yea, rather it's risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So if God be for us, who can be against us? There's nothing to be intimidated by. There's nothing that can prevent Him from giving me all of His blessings. There's nothing I can be prosecuted for. There's nothing I can be condemned for. And there's nothing that can separate me from Him. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It can't be done. You see, the Lord said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Can anything separate Christ from the Father's love? No. Nor can anything separate the believer from Christ's love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, and just in case I've left out anything, nor any other creature, and that includes me, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if God be for us in foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification, that means there's nothing to be intimidated by. There's nothing that can prevent His grace. There's no prosecution, no condemnation, and no separation. Thank God for the five stones of David. Now, we have this message on cassette, CD, and DVD. If you call the church or write, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neibert praying God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.